Before we get going, I've got this bill on architects, engineers, and surveyors that we passed out, I guess, Friday. I don't know, I guess, have you had a chance to sign it? No. Neither you or Helen have. Anyway, Hugh Malone in finance would like to get a referral on it. And the problem is he doesn't want to ask for the referral on the floor because he's a surveyor, and it might appear that he's involved in some sort of a conflict of interest. So he'd like us to recommend the referral.
The City Affairs Committee recommends it go to finance.
Okay, well, that wasn't on the original committee report we signed out, so I just wanted to check and make sure that was all right with everybody. Setting up the review board for architects, engineers, and surveyors. He apparently there were two fiscal notes on it, and they were two different types of funding, and he had a question about that.
That's not the one we're taking out of the Department of Highway.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I didn't even know we'd seen that final version or not.
Yeah,
we'll send it. Or did you just ever should do it?
I think we had signed it out first without ever seeing the final.
Oh, I see.
We came to understand we'd pull highways out when we signed the report.
Yeah,
so
okay.
You may want to take a look at it, wouldn't you?
Wasn't this the one that was in sort of take up problems where there might have been arbitrary selection
of
people who are architects in terms of state budget? So this was really just to possibly eliminate that.
Yeah. Do you have Charlie? Do you have another meeting to get to? Or?
I have a judiciary committee meeting.
All right. Why don't we take up your bill first, then? What was the number? 643.
643.
Do you care to testify on it?
Yeah, I guess you can.
Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 643 is designed to remedy two problems, as I understand them. First is that we have a serious cost of living difference between Alaska and the lower 48 states. And of course, that cost of living difference varies according to whether you're in Anchorage or Bethel or Fairbanks or where. And we do have in our retirement statutes an attempt to compensate for that. For those people who stay in Alaska, I think everybody has been in agreement that we should do what we can to assist our retired people and our elderly people to stay in Alaska if they want and not to be forced to go live in the lower 48 simply because they can't afford to stay here. And the statute for public employees has a provision in there to allow for a cost of living study every year and a cost of living differential for those retired state and public employees who stay in Alaska. In the teacher's retirement statute, there is also a cost of living thing, but it puts a maximum of 10% on it. Well, the person who's retired, whether the person worked for the state or was a teacher, and is retired, faces exactly the same cost of living differential, regardless of the prior profession. So I could see no reason for this this dichotomy here. So what the bill attempts to do first is to make the cost of living allowance for staying in Alaska more realistic, and secondly, to make its cost of living differential for staying in Alaska the same for retired public employees and for teachers. Now, the present statute provides that the Public Employees Retirement Board will make this cost of living differential determination. It didn't see any point, and it seemed to be any point in having it done twice. So I did not suggest that the teachers' board make one separately. I think one determination would serve for both groups. And now I have asked Mr. Gates for some information, which either he and I'll let him speak for himself on this, but I have not received it yet, but I have asked for information as to what determinations have been made by this Public Employees Retirement Board for each of the years, and how many state employees and teachers have retired and are now living in Alaska and getting this extra allowance. I don't have any information yet. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Helen?
I haven't read over the bill, Charlie. Is this retroactive to those that are now retired?
The ones who are already retired will receive it. Yes, that's the way the statute presently reads. This would simply change the rating, change the...
You don't have a fiscal note,
right? No, I haven't received a fiscal note. I believe Mr. Gates has one. I'll let him, again, I'll let him speak for himself on that. But I believe a copy of the fiscal note is supposed to come back to the prime sponsor of the bill as well as to the appropriate committee, but I haven't received one.
Any other questions? Why don't we hear from Mr. Gates?
Mr. Chairman, on House Bill 643, a fiscal note was prepared on the 11th of February and was sent to, as far as I knew, the normal distribution of the bill, including the prime sponsor. I brought a copy over and gave it to your assistant for this particular meeting, and I can't understand why that fiscal note somehow wasn't received by Representative Parr. I can imagine normal distribution may not have brought it to your committee. I'm not positive, but in any event, it was sent to the finance committees and et cetera back on the 11th of February. But I think his copy is just now being passed out that I just brought over. There's actually three separate fiscal notes for two other bills that were to be discussed. To comment perhaps on a couple subjects that Representative Parr raised, some week and a half ago, he did request some specific information from me, and I was just in touch with his office here a short while ago advising that I have yet to obtain all of the final numbers he needs. In general terms, I can talk from the standpoint that about 40% to 45% of the teachers are living in state as of a recent date, and about 60% of the public employees. Those are the only two numbers that I have available that tells us something here.
Can we have those again? What is it?
Approximately 40% of the teachers and somewhere in the neighborhood of 60% of the public employees.
Those retired,
Of those currently retired who were residing in the state as of a recent date. Now those percentages might change. I would suspect that they will change depending on the time of the year that you're taking the count. You can have more out of state or in state, as the case may be. Now, as far as the 643, as drafted, we have several comments. One, I would think it might be desirable, if this approach is to be taken, to have the two boards act independently. The reason they are two different retirement systems, and consistently the board members have felt that many things happen in one system that don't exactly happen in the other system, and I think that speaking for the Teachers Retirement Board, they would prefer, if this is the approach to be taken, that they have similar type language for their own system. I just think that the cost of living indexes are going to be the same no matter what board is looking at it. I think it's just a question of the Public Employees Retirement System Board making a determination that affects members in the other system, and that's just from the standpoint of authority on each board. I think it's probably desirable to do that. The other question that we have with the bill is one that the way it's drafted, we run into difficulties, I believe, with someone who's making a retirement benefit of less than $400 a month, because the way it's worded, it says it shall not be less than $100 nor greater than 25%. Well, somebody with $350, we just can't comply with the law. I think perhaps some slight changing there might get the language so that it can be administered. By saying something on the order of not less than $100 if that's a desired floor, and then doing something where or 25%, or, you know, there shall be a maximum of 25%. It's just a matter of changing a word or two around there, which would allow either one to take place but not have the same applying to a given individual. And then also, I think that it might be well to address the period of time over which this cost of living index is to be examined, because whether it's the preceding 12 months or a period of time, I would think allowing sufficient time to pay the benefit and probably to cut it off a quarter before the time of actual payment, so there is time. Normally there's about a 2-month lag from the Department of Labor before these statistics are known, and if you say a July 1, well, a July 1 figure isn't normally known until about the middle of August or the end of August, and I would think something more on the order, if it were to become effective July 1 of each year, that you'd use the 12-month period ending in, say, March of the March preceding that period, just to allow it to be applied as well as to be determined. And that is basically the comments that we have prepared on this legislation. Be happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Helen? Well, this is just for information, for my own information. What's the average retirement benefit for teachers that you pay?
For teachers?
Yeah.
Well, my guess would be somewhere around $800 to $850 a month.
And is the cost of living based on Seattle, or how do they determine the cost of living in the state employees?
Well, as Representative Parr mentioned, at the present time, the teachers is a 10% amount. If residing in Alaska, they're entitled to 10% of their basic benefit in addition. And under the PERS, it has also been a 10% amount, although there's different wording in the law. The differences vary from quarter to quarter, or year to year. And what has in fact been happening in the last 4 or 5 years is the rate of increase within Alaska has been somewhat less than the rate that's been experienced nationally. The level to start off with is at a higher level, but the rate of increase has slowed down considerably.
Closer to Seattle.
Yeah, well, there's still a difference, but yeah. The increases that have been occurring nationally have been greater than what has been experienced in Anchorage. Now, and this is the difficult thing with using an index, is depending where you're living, a cost of living can change rather dramatically even within the state. I'm sure that Representative Parr has seen a decidedly different change in in Fairbanks than you would experience, say, in Ketchikan or Juneau or Anchorage, and it varies all over the place. Traditionally, the board's position on the cost of living, there are two different cost of living formulas, if you will, in the retirement system, one being a post-retirement pension adjustment and the other being a cost of living. The post-pension retirement adjustment would apply to all retired people. The cost of living only applies to those that remain in the state. And the board has taken this subject up and has generally felt with the number of retroactive increases that have occurred virtually every year affecting existing retired people, they haven't been inclined to raise it greater than the 10%, because if you'll recall, about 3 years ago in the